This is WABF, and it's time now for the Gulf Coast Swap Shop.
Swap Shop time.
Your free personal advertising show is live and in color on the radio and online. Brought to you today by these fine local businesses.
By Fairhope Hemp CBD, Hughes Funeral Home and Crematory, the Fairhope Storm, and the Quail Creek Golf Course Snack Bar.
928-9228 is the number to call. When we get you on the line, you can talk about anything you want, but please no guns, ammo, prescriptions, or businesses. And let's keep it to rescue animals only.
And aside from that, pretty much anything goes.
Stay on the line to make sure we get your information accurately as well.
Because it's Wednesday.
Hump day. Downhill slide to the weekend. And we have a special guest in the studio. We would like to introduce Mick Gillespie. Mick the broadcaster, actually. And good morning, Mick.
Hey, that was awesome.
Oh,
okay. A hump day slide in my arm?
Hump day downhill.
Yeah, I mean, that was great. I need to learn that, so next time I can jump in.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, Mick just dropped in the other afternoon, and you looked familiar. You'd been here before, I think, for an art walk. And turns out he is literally Mick, the broadcaster. That's his website, mickthebroadcaster.com. And Mark, you're going to be so happy to know, since you've just now met him, he's all about Alabama football.
Yay! All right.
Roll Tide.
Roll Tide.
Mick, tell us about what you've been doing in your career.
Yeah, look, I went to the University of Alabama, got a degree from there, which is great. First one in my family. And my sister followed suit, so we're kind of a legacy family now. But originally from Baltimore, I grew up listening to local radio, WBAL, and then WTTR when I moved out to the country. So I love what you guys do. So it got me wanting to be in broadcasting. But I went to Alabama, did the college radio thing there for a while. That's how I got started. Was a sports director. We won a bunch of national awards. I got into professional baseball. Worked for the Crimson Tide Sports Network for, I don't know, 10 years.
Really?
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, I worked with Chris Stewart, filled in for Chris on basketball, did women's basketball, baseball, and then the Cubs hired me to do basically spring training games on MLB.com, and then I started doing stuff for Marquee, their TV network, when that started, and then I do Bama Insider. Well, now it's the Bama football tailgate show, but I was the pre- and post-game host for the flagship for Alabama in Tuscaloosa, and then COVID, and then they made some cuts, and then I started doing it myself. It was the greatest thing that ever happened to me in my life when I realized that, you know, so much of what we can do without having someone over our heads, you know. So now it is a run thing, and it's a syndicated show. So a game day show that plays throughout the state, and, you know, I do a post-game show on the net. And I love it, man. It's good career.
Yeah, and you know, when you love your job, you never work a day in your life. So,
no.
Yeah.
Sometimes I feel guilty though. No, not really. No.
Yeah, I used to say, I can't believe they pay me to do this.
I know.
Now, of course, I say they don't pay me enough. But back in the day, it was like, I can't believe they pay me to do this.
Yeah.
So Mark is no stranger to TV and radio sports casting either.
Well, yeah, I got my start at KVBA Television. I started off running camera and eventually became the play-by-play guy for basketball, baseball, and high school sports, and then did that for many years. And now I do play-by-play for Gulf Shores football. So,
oh, wow, big time.
It has been since Mark Cudspeth took over.
Yeah, one of the guys I worked with played football at Alabama and played football for the Falcons, Mike Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking. He's now the pre, post, and halftime host for Atlanta Falcons football, right?
Okay.
So he called me like last week. We were talking. He's like, "Hey, have you heard about what's going on down in Gulf Shores? They have like this dream team coaching staff."
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "No, I didn't know that, but now I know, right?"
Yeah. It's crazy, and you know, they're getting kids that are moving into the area now that NIL's a thing.
Yeah.
So
that's awesome. It's been a lot of fun. I did county high football in Tuscaloosa for 10 years. And one of the teams when I first started was really good, like a top 25 in the country team. Mm-hmm. And by the time I left, they were awful. I mean, you know, like losing every game by like 50, you know. So it's, it's a different type of broadcast.
A few years ago, you know, before Hudspeth took over, it was, well, they were the smallest school in 6A.
Oh, wow, yeah.
And 6A is really competitive in Alabama.
No doubt.
And we've got four teams down here that are always in the mix for the state championship, and we had to play four of them every year. So that's four L's on the thing. And when you're, you know, you're facing teams that are almost twice your size, it was just ugly.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'd have to do these broadcasts alone, and it's like, oh, God.
No, man. That's the biggest problem with high
school. I'm out here
sports.
In the cold and the rain. I just want to go home.
Yeah, look, we used to have to play Hoover. And, you know, they 7A football, right?
Okay.
And they were, like, over twice the size of County High, which was one of the smaller 7A schools.
Right.
And, you know, you lose every game by 50. You know, you're playing in a league that has now Thompson, but they weren't good when I was there.
I can identify with this because I went to St. Paul's in Mobile, and my brother played at St. Paul's. And we had to play Baker and Davidson, all these huge schools.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually St. Paul's arrived on the map, and we've had some players make it to college and beyond. But it took a while.
Big time program, St. Paul's.
Yeah, yeah. Well, when you're a private school, you can offer scholarships to recruit players. So private schools typically play a league up. So.
Yeah. Yeah, cool. Well, it's almost, it feels like high school football weather out
there
today.
Right, right.
Oh, yeah, I love it. Yeah.
Let's just remind everybody, you're not interrupting us to call 928-9228. We'll just hold that thought and take your call. But meanwhile, you guys just talk about football. And
well, actually, I kind of wanted to talk about an interesting piece of jewelry you've got there.
I wore it for you guys today.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I got a World Series ring. And, you know, what the cool thing about the Cubs ring is that I grew up a Cubs fan. You know, I used to watch Harry Carey and Steve Stone on WGN, so I wanted to be Harry Carey. You know, I wanted to be able to go on TV. So I started with the Cubs in 2007 and then, you know, went through some good years and then some really bad years. Theo Epstein got there. I had a conversation with Tom Ricketts, the owner of the Cubs, and I was telling him about we were just kind of eating and having a drink. And I said, you know, when Alabama got Nick Saban, you could just feel there was a difference.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I said, and when you find the person that does that for the, you know, for the Cubs, you'll know. And then I saw him later on, and he was like, hey, Theo is so smart. And he had remembered that. You know, we talked about just kind of how special Theo Epstein was. So Theo was the guy who helped the Red Sox break the curse and then helped the Cubs break the curse. So he'll go down as the greatest executive in baseball history just because of the
just
fact,
because of that. Well,
because of that, yeah.
And what a dream come true for you to work for the Cubs and then to sport this giant ring. When we came in the other day, I'm like,
that's one of the rarest rings in sports, a Cubs championship ring.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Hey, in 2003, that was when I was still in college. I remember watching the Cubs blow it into the Marlins, you know, the Steve Bartman games. And I was so disappointed. Like, it was like a shot to my soul, right? And then, you know, but then years later, you know, it kind of worked out well. You know? So, you know, I was kind of a part of, I got to do the spring training games, I think like 30 of those. They would fly me in for Cubs convention. I'd host seminars for that, you know, and other stuff. You know, I was always kind of, whatever you guys need, I'll do it, you know, with anything with the organization. But, yeah, it was really cool. And then you get these emails. The way it works is they send you an email, and they want your ring size. Well, that's the best email I've ever gotten, okay? So the anticipation, you know, like, as you know, like, hey, what is my ring size?
Here,
you know?
Yeah.
So that was cool. Yeah, I don't wear it a whole lot, but you know what? I wanted you guys to see it.
And, uh-huh.
You know,
that's gorgeous. When he came in, I'm like, what is that ring? My son has a couple of giant rings from playing at Auburn, but that looks different.
Hey, those are great rings too, though. You know, like anytime you're part of a championship, even if it's just a little tiny part of it, it's something that you'll never forget your entire life.
Yeah, that's very true. That's very true.
And to be a winner, you know, I've seen this at Alabama, and then, you know, obviously when the Cubs were one of the best teams in baseball, it's more than just the success on the field. It's all the people that are doing the things behind the scenes to make things work. You know, in baseball, the ownership, for a long time, the Cubs were owned by the Tribune Company, and they didn't really understand that to win in baseball, you have to develop from, you know, the draft up. Right, and all these different levels of baseball, they just wanted to, you know, hey, I'm just going to pay some guys to go out and play, and we'll go get free agents. But the teams that win consistently are the teams that have great scouting, amateur and pro scouting, know the guys that they're going to get from other teams if there's a trade available or who they're going to draft, and then have what we call the Cubs way. You know, hey, when you come through, you're going to do it this way. So it wasn't just a lucky season; it was a process, and it was really cool to be part of that.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like it. Yeah. Very nice, very nice. So your show, you have a show now that you syndicate or you shop to various radio stations?
Yeah. Yeah, so when, you know, like during COVID, all I was just the host of the pre- and post-game show in Tuscaloosa, and then I get an email. The opposite of the email for the World Series ring, another one that was like, hey, you know, and I get it, you know, they just didn't want to pay me, but they were like, hey, basically, there's going to be interns doing your show. You're not fired, but we're just not going to, you know, do that anymore. So I was fired. And, you know,
you're not fired, but
you're
get
fired.
Out.
Yeah. Yeah, get out of here. So, you know, for I didn't know what I was going to do because we had, and this is how I got to Fairhope, we had our stuff packed to move to Chicago. And and this is going back to baseball, but we were going to work in Chicago and do some stuff for the Cubs TV network marquee. And I was going to fill in for Len Casper on TV when he was on Fox.
Mm-hmm.
And the weekend before, we went to Vegas. I did the Cubs and Reds. Brought my wife. We stayed out in Vegas, you know, a lot of years in minor league baseball, so we had to celebrate. The Cubs paid for us to have extra days at the Cosmopolitan. So I did the 2 days of TV, and then I stayed until Wednesday. Well, I had flown in with the Cubs on the charter, but I flew back commercial, and I show up Wednesday. I'm supposed to do Cubs radio against the Sox on Friday. Saturday was going to be the Cubs and the Indians on TV, and I tell the guy, the director of broadcasting, I'm like, you know, my wife drinks like a fish. We've been out in Vegas. He's like, all right, well, look, we'll give you something Sunday to do. So I was going to, like, host a season ticket holder thing at the Cubs spring training facility, you know, which would have paid, and then I was going to fly home. They changed my itinerary. Everything was set up. By Thursday, I'm back in Knoxville trying to find toilet paper. You know, and my whole life's been different ever since, you know. So we were sitting in the apartment.
Because of COVID.
Yeah, so we were sitting there, and then I realized that everything was kind of different. And my friend ran the Bay House up here next to my buddy Rick Gambino's house. They couldn't rent short-term. They could do long-term because of COVID. And we came down, put our stuff in storage, and got down here. That's when I got the email from you know, from the old station, and I realized halfway through that everything that we had kind of planned for in Chicago was different because of COVID. And so I didn't know what I was going to do, and then one of the sales guys called, and he's like, hey, man, we sell the pretty much out everything you're on, so you should probably think about doing this.
Do your own show.
Yeah, sell and so that's what I did. Okay. Yes, yeah, so I started with the show on Jocks in Birmingham and Tuscaloosa on game days, and then it worked out really well, and then we just started to and we couldn't do, this is the crazy thing about this show, it used to be Saturday, we just did it live, you know, before Crimson Tide Sports Network. Well, because of COVID, they couldn't get anybody, they weren't allowed to have people in the studio, so we would just, like, the only option we had was to do it Friday. So we do it, we record Friday from Innisfree when the team's at home, which is an Irish bar in Tuscaloosa, and then when the team's on the road, we go down to Floribama now, which is great. You know, it puts me in a fun spot every Friday.
Yeah.
And then we do the show, and then it's just a file that you play. You know, so okay. So when we all started radio, you would never think to do a show like that. I mean, you had to do it live, like we're right now.
Right.
But with podcasting and the way that people consume now.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of showed an old dog a new trick, to be honest with you. You know, like I learned that that it doesn't have to be the way that we've always done it.
Right.
You know, so that really helped the show too. And then last year, all of a sudden, you know, we added a bunch of stations around the state, and people seem to like it. So, and I'm having fun doing it.
Okay.
You know, so,
If anybody wants to follow along, he is MickTheBroadcaster.com. Mick, M-I-C-K, TheBroadcaster.com. Which one of these can we play?
You can play any of them. If you want to hear the top one, there's that's just my TV demo. Roll down. The bottom one is a radio demo with the Cubs. And then that one, the last one, maybe you'll play that. These are highlights from last year's playoff game that the Smokies played, which I still do work with the Cubs AA team, the Smokies. I've been
okay.
doing that for a long time. That was a playoff game. So it's the most exciting game of the season.
You want me to play this
one? Yeah, so I'm screaming on here, I think.
Oh, okay.
You guys will like this, hopefully.
Well, all right, let's see. Here we go.
This.
All right.
Now the 3-2. Swing, ground ball, fair! Down the right field line, and the Smokies are on the board. Perlaza hustling the second. Aguilar's throw is late. It's an RBI double, and it's a 1-0 Smokies lead. Roeder's got speed over at first. Here's the 2-2. Swing and a high deep drive to left field. Whitefield going back. He's at the warning track. To the wall! There she goes! Chase Strumpf with a go-ahead three-run shot here in the sixth.
I love it. I mean,
Frankie, you caught it, baby.
That was a big home run.
You've got to make it come alive in the people's eye, you know, in their imagination.
Yeah.
Because to me, that's really hard to do. You've got to convey the excitement that's on the field onto the radio, when in most cases, people might be not watching, but
no,
it's on the radio.
Well,
was this TV or radio?
This was radio. This was on in Knoxville,
yeah.
On the Sports Animal up there, which is like for a minor league team, it's like a really legitimate radio station.
Here's and a little bit more.
Yeah.
And they hold on to a 4-2 win.
Oh, my.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
That was incredible. He went back to his right on a ball that was crushed. And as he was falling back at the base of the wall, he caught it and then rolled up under the fence. Then he held on to it, and the Smokies won the game. What a dramatic finish.
Yeah, see baseball.
That was great. That was
I've
great.
I've done like 3,000 games. And that was the end of a playoff game
mm-hmm.
on the road. You know, just an incredible catch. But there's a lot more to it than in baseball play-by-play than just like a couple of highlights, although that's what we all kind of are judged by,
right?
But the real thing is being able to convince someone to listen to a team that they really don't care about for 2 or 3 hours, and that includes a lot of sports talk for me and stories.
Oh, yeah, yeah, because baseball can be boring.
Yeah.
You know, pitcher goes up, stands on the mound, looks like he's going to scratch himself for a minute. Now he's going to step off and looks like he might even spit this time. Okay, now he's going to step back up onto the mound. Pitcher's ready to deliver the ball, and the batter steps in. Batter looks. Catcher looks at the pitcher. Pitcher gets a sign. Now the batter steps out. So batter's going to, you know.
Yeah, right. Adjust his batting gloves.
Nothing is going on, you know.
Look, I grew up listening to John Miller.
Okay.
And I listened to radio, the Orioles radio, as a kid. And before that, Chuck Thompson, who was actually one of my mentors. Chuck was is a Hall of Famer, just like John. And he was like the voice of Baltimore.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's just crazy that I eventually got to know him. But I listened to those guys religiously. Like, I don't even really like TV, to be honest with you. I'm just a radio guy.
Sure.
I like listening to radio. I like the stories that John Miller told. And so when I'm doing a game, my style really doesn't play to the way that things are now in media, because I grew up like where you listen to guys tell stories.
And old school.
It's more entertaining, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that radio executives these days they're so worried about making money that they don't realize that you'll make money if you have
if
entertainment,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So it was going to find the cheapest person and put them out there. But there's a skill set that goes with this.
Yes.
And I listened to John Miller do it, and no one does it better than him. Or, you know, listen to Vin when they came out with XM Radio. And those guys just – the Orioles were so bad one year, 1988, that they lost – their first 21 games.
Wow.
Think about that. So you're out of it by April.
How do you keep
0-21? Like, and I don't think anyone is ever going to beat that streak in baseball. I mean, that's a different level of stink, right? and the reason why what happened was the Orioles had a shortstop that was like the franchise guy. His name was Cal Ripken. Well, his dad, Cal Ripken Sr., who had put all of this time in the Orioles minor league system in Baltimore and spent like 40 years there or something, finally got to be the manager of the team. And, you know, six or seven games in, they fired him.
Mm-hmm.
And so and not only was Cal on the team, but I think Billy, his brother, was on the team. So okay. And I'm not saying Cal tried to throw the games, but, I mean, you want to mess up a clubhouse.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and so they brought Frank Robinson in, who had experience as a manager, but it just didn't work, and they lost 21 straight games. But I listened to the radio every night, and John Miller, the worse the team was, the better the broadcast was. You know, because instead of living and dying on every pitch, you know, it give the pitch, but have a great story. You know, like I remember one of them was Frank Robinson was trying to reverse the bad luck that the Orioles were having, right? So,
okay.
You know, we all believe in jinxes and baseball.
Of course, yeah.
And
gotta wear, you got to wear the right shirt. You got to wear the right
socks.
Oh,
man, yeah. I know it. Until Nick Saban showed up, I used to be like that with Alabama stuff. And then he just won so much that I don't even know. I don't have, you know, superstitions and favorite shirts for Alabama. But with the Orioles, they were trying to do this. And, you know, Frank would drive to the Memorial Stadium, and he would go, you know, one way there and one way back, or come into, you know, just all that kind of stuff. Try to walk through the door backwards and all, and it just didn't work, you know. But they would tell those stories every day,
right?
And I think that I learned through that to make baseball interesting is more than just calling the pitches.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not just about balls and strikes,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, so I try, you know, I spend like two and a half, 3 hours getting ready for each broadcast. And I'd say most of that's just combing the internet for stuff like, you know, the Babe Ruth card that sold for $6 million.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to know where the guy got the Babe Ruth card, and, you know, is it really a 9 or a 10 grade? And, you know, or I'll do this date in baseball history and, you know, find out about, like, Willie Mays, who's from Fairfield and Birmingham, and, you know, his mom. They didn't even have enough money, hardly, to even send him away when he got drafted. And they packed him, his aunt packed him lunch and sent him on a train, you know. And Willie told me, he's like, when he played for the team in Chattanooga in the Negro League, if it rained, they didn't get paid. He quit because they rained so much.
If it rained, they didn't get paid.
Uh-huh. And so he was a young guy, so he went home because they couldn't eat because it rained a lot. You know?
Wow.
So to think about that to becoming the greatest player of all time, you know, and what's crazy about our state is that possibly the greatest pitcher ever, Satchel Paige, is from Mobile, right? And possibly the greatest hitter
of all time,
Willie Mays, from Birmingham area. Hank Aaron, the greatest home run hitter ever from here, and one of my good friends. And if I don't give him a shout out, I don't know if anyone's listening from Whistler, Alabama, but Billy Williams, who every time I see him yells "Roll Tide" at me, Cubs Hall of Famer, from here as well. So much rich baseball history from our state.
Mm-hmm. You need saying that. Remind me. Let's look up our friend and author Joe Formicella. He's written one or two baseball books. This area. So.
Yeah, he played for the Yankees back in the 60s.
Oh, Joe? Cool.
He played with...
No, we're not talking about Lou Vickery.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Even though that is another author.
Yeah, Lou Vickery, yeah.
But let's take a break, if I may say. You're listening to WABF and the Gulf Coast Swap Shop. 928-9228 is our number. Our guest is Mick Gillespie. You can find him at mickthebroadcaster.com. after we finish this program, though. So stay tuned in. We'll be right back.
Hughes Funeral Home and Crematory is honored to have been named the Eastern Shore Chamber's 2021 Small Business of the Year, as well as the Best of Baldwin by a vote of the public. Our goal is to help you and your loved ones share cherished memories and comfort each other during your time of loss. We will assist you with creating a highly personalized funeral or memorial service that reflects the life of your loved one. Benji and Donna Hughes and their staff are here to support you and make the process one of love, healing, and celebration. One of the best ways to make sure that all your questions and desires are taken care of is to make pre-arrangements. For more information, call us today at 621-5890 or log on to HughesFuneralHome.org. Hughes Funeral Home and Crematory, Pollard Road in Daphne.
And now we're talking hemp with John MacArthur, owner of Fairhope Hemp.
Hemp has over 130 different cannabinoids. We're just dealing with like the five most prevalent, which is CBD, CBG, CBN, CBC, and THC. Cool. And it's hemp-derived.
Right.
So per the 2018 Farm Bill Act, anything that is hemp-derived is legal. You might be embarrassed to ask or questions that you've had answered by somebody else and just want maybe a second opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Come on down to Fairhope Hemp and let's talk about it. Let's talk about hemp and what it is, what it can do for you or a loved one, and see if it might be for you. I love talking hemp and I love helping people. I worked on people's cars for years and got so much enjoyment out of giving somebody some faith that they can crank their car up and go to work and pick their kids up at school and doing this hemp thing now. It's helping more people with something I think that's a lot more important is your health. I mean, without your health, what do you have?
Fairhope Hemp, 505 Fairhope Avenue, part of the Veterans Initiative 22. So veterans receive 22% off.
Who said football is over? Live football is coming to Fairhope with the IAFLX semi-pro football team, the Fairhope Storm. Upcoming home football games are March 11th and 25th, April 22nd and 29th. Away games include Pensacola and Tuscaloosa. Come watch it live in person or on their YouTube channel the next day. See local players from Foley, Davidson, Spanish Fort, Daphne, and more. For tickets and more information, log on to FairhopeStorm.com. That's FairhopeStorm.com. A storm is coming. A ministry of Three Circle Church.
So, Mick, are you familiar with the Fairhope Storm?
No, I mean, I'm curious.
We have a semi-pro football team right here in Fairhope.
Yeah, that's kind of football at its purest, you know, because these guys, they're not getting paid anything.
Yeah.
In fact, they have to pay in order to play. They have to buy their own uniforms, their own gear and everything. Mm-hmm. They just want to play,
yeah. You
know. It's done through Three Circle Church, and it's kind of a character-building thing for that and sort of a home for those guys that grew up playing football and played it in high school, maybe played it in college, and they didn't make the pros because only the top, you know, 1%.
Or they didn't make college,
So, you know, they're sort of indoctrinated into that life, and now they've got a chance to go back and relive some of that or be a part of something instead of feeling lost.
And the coach, Fred Riley, coached, I know, was it Davidson and Daphne, maybe?
Yeah, I think so.
As well as years ago, he had some type of a position at Auburn when Bo Jackson was there.
Oh, wow.
And so he wrote this book about his time there called Bo Don't Know Me, because he didn't really know him.
Yeah.
And it just took off on Amazon for a little while.
That's cool.
That's Coach Fred Riley. Their next home game is not until April 22nd. They just had one Saturday. They're Saturdays at 3, and they play here at the Fairhope Field, the WC Majors Volanta Park football field.
Yeah, the Fairhope High School football
field. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. My son's a proud Pirate over at Fairhope West.
Okay.
Yeah. Very good.
Okay.
Yeah, loves it. We support the, you know, Fairhope team, so... anything that they do, we're a part of.
There you go.
Yeah.
You know, you can get involved with the boosters and whatnot. But yeah, so he might enjoy seeing a semi-pro game.
Yeah.
Fairhopestorm.com is where you can find their information. Or you can find them on YouTube and watch the latest games.
Yeah, I like going to them because I don't have to work it. You know, I can just go sit back and enjoy the game and watch it and you know, sit back and talk to my buddies and just watch the game instead of, you know, because when you're announcing the game, it's a different thing than just sitting back watching and enjoying it.
Sure, yeah, no doubt.
Sure it is.
When they shut baseball down and we got here in 2020, it was the first summer I ever had off. I mean, think about that, since the time I was in college. And I played baseball before that. So, mm-hmm. I mean, like, my whole life, I don't remember having a real summer.
You know? Right, right.
We got down here. I had this rule. It was like we had to go to the beach once a week. Mm-hmm. You know, so we would mm-hmm. go, you know, down the Gulf Shores. We found a spot down there. I started doing a beer review show. And that around here, and people loved it. We'd go to the Legion, and they'd,
sure,
they'd
okay,
see it on
yeah.
Facebook now. It got too popular for my partner, who's off the show now. Where we went, they'd be like, hey, what, have you guys tried this? Or we love what you're doing. And the funny part about this show is it was a Facebook show. It's on YouTube. It's Mixed Beer Review. It's all the broadcasting stuff that I've done, and I've been in it for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
That beer show here, you know, go over to the brew pub. We call it the brew pub, Fairhope Brewery, or
mm-hmm.
go,
right, right.
go, you know, to the Legion. We love the Legion, you know, whatever. People love to talk about that beer show.
Sure.
And
yeah.
it's all because, like, I just didn't have anything to do, you know, because, uh-huh. like you said, like, I'm
now,
always watching people
again?
Drink a beer at a game, you know, and stuff.
What's it called?
Mixed Beer Review.
Mixed Beer
Facebook?
Review.
It is, yeah. It was Mick and Brick, but Brick got.
No, Mix, not Mixed.
M-I-C.
Mix. Oh, hello, your name.
Yeah, we would put the shows on Fairhope Now during COVID, and people would watch them and stuff. It was great. So,
oh, hey, we missed that.
Yeah, it was. Well, I'm doing it again now. It's just, you know, like on YouTube. I'm trying to take it to YouTube, but it was so much fun. But it was like inspired by
this?
What you said, Mark. I just watch everybody drink and have fun, and I'm uh-huh. up in the booth. I can't do that, you know.
Yeah.
So during COVID, we started doing this. And
okay, is there something I can play on the radio?
Oh yeah, yeah. It's not. I don't think
okay.
there's anything bad.
All right, let's just hear a piece of Mix.
It's muted.
Mix Beer Review. Let's see.
It's after the. Uh-oh. It'll come on 5 seconds in. It plays the open.
Okay.
There you go.
Let's hang it up for me for the seat, man. There we go.
What do you say, everybody? It's time for your favorite show and ours. And it isn't ours today. It's time for the Mick Beer Review. And great to hang out with all of you guys. And I want to remind you of something here. And that's before we drink this beer. I want to remind you guys to make sure that you like and subscribe, that you're a part of the channel. And I want you to do it on YouTube. Like and follow at Mixed Beer Review on YouTube, at Mixed Beer Review on YouTube. I won't even struggle to say it that time. And maybe I've had a few beers today. I don't know. You don't even know what day this is, but it's a podcast that we're recording, and Laura Shepherd is here with me. What's up? Welcome
What's
to the
up?
Beer Show.
Thanks for having me, Mick.
I know. Thank you for doing the show, right?
This is awesome.
Look, it took you a long time to get here, and I say that because I'm going to throw up here the episode. This is episode 245 of Mixed Beer Review. That's a lot of beers, right?
I'm in late on this, but I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, do you like beer? You a beer fan?
Absolutely.
Okay, what we're going to do today is we are going to try Hourglass Brewing's 2 Million Bees and Some Hops Double IPA. That's a lot of alcohol. Let me throw that up there, too. 8.1%, 67 IBUs. Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
So when I hear the name... Hourglass Brewing and 2 Million Bees, I'm thinking this is probably going to be kind of a honey type beer. And then also on top of that, I'm thinking that it's going to be maybe sweet. It's a New England style IPA, which I like that. And we're actually going to split this beer. But look at that. Look at the can art there. And I'm going to throw that up on the screen for everybody to kind of look at while we're hanging out. But look, I mean, you got your bees on there. It's got some flowers. I mean, what you would expect, right? 16 fluid ounces. It's a double dry hopped and a New England style IPA with orange blossom honey. Are you a honey person? You like honey?
Yep. And I like IPAs, double IPAs.
Yeah, me too. Right?
I mean, this is pretty cute. So are you still doing mixed beer review?
Yeah. Season three.
And while this was playing, you actually invited Mark and I to be on the show with you.
Hey, look, I would love that, guys. Okay. If you like beer, I would love that.
Okay. All right.
I think we should find a spot, maybe go to the brew pub, or maybe, Page and Palette. I wrote a lot of my book at Page and Palette. Or somewhere cool and just pick beers that we haven't done before, try them, and hear what you guys think.
Interesting.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm not a beer connoisseur at all, so that would be interesting.
But it's what we were trying to do with that is you walk into the Pig, or you go to Greer's, or you go to wherever you get your stuff at, Winn-Dixie for you. And you see all these cans, right?
Right.
And you're like, what's in these cans? Like, what is this?
Right.
And that's what's cool about the beer show. It's like figuring out what's in there. So at least I can give you a tip, It's like, hey, if you see this beer with all these bees on it, it's not really, it doesn't taste like 2 million bees. More like 1,000. So I agree with her.
That's funny. And you have a studio at home where you can record.
Yeah, big old Montrose where I live now, and you have a studio. So, well, during COVID, all this stuff, life changed, I mean, I didn't know that you did stuff from a studio. I didn't know
me and, of course, and then Mark, too, we were like the only people in downtown for months. Yeah. I mean, when I pulled up, usually when I get here in the morning, there's no cars on the street. But when you leave at 12 and there's no cars on the street, that's like,
it was scary.
That was
kind of
eerie. Yeah.
I was one of the only people I knew that still went to work every day during COVID. And in many cases, it was extra work because we did special reports every day.
Right. Update people on everything that's going on.
Oh, yeah. Well, we changed a lot during that because I had nothing to do. Anywhere, I'm used to, I do ballroom dancing.
Oh, wow.
And I used to go out dancing 3, 4, 5 nights a week.
That's something I'd love.
Oh, you'd love it. It's fun.
I would.
But once COVID hit, there were no dances. So my social life just tanked.
Yeah.
And I'd come into work here, and I got on our computers and started updating all our music and changing some stuff and working on stuff. And I remember coming in, we had a couple of weeks where Lori got sick, and so I would come in to cover her shift, and I'd be in here at 8 o'clock in the morning, and then I'd work in the afternoon, and I'd order some food from one of the takeout places that was still open. You could take food out. You couldn't eat there, but you could take it out. And I'd stay here till 9 or 10 o'clock because I didn't have anywhere else to be.
Oh, yeah.
And it's,
and this was open. I mean, compared to what if we would have went to Chicago, I mean, you couldn't go anywhere. Mm-hmm. There was even, I don't even know if there was takeout places up there. You know, at least around here. I mean, it kind of felt like there was a little bit of a civilization. Mm-hmm. And even though they really did shut it down, I mean, think about how, you know what I mean? Like it was like so quiet here, but in other places it was even worse.
I shudder at the thought and just hope it never happens again.
Yeah, it was terrible. Life changed though. It's not the career that I worked my entire life to have, but it's a different life, but it's a great life. We came down here, and I was telling you this the other day. My son is third grade, autistic, never talked, and but I kept saying I knew there was like the wheels were turning, right? Mm-hmm. But I wasn't real happy with the school system that he was in. So I'm thinking, we'll get to Chicago, we're gonna find the best school for kids with autism. And so we come here, and he goes to Fairhope West. Well, his teacher, one of them, and there have been a bunch of great ones, was Jody Bloom. Her husband is the Panini Pete. And so I can't remember. It was a group thing, and I'm like, look, this guy is smart. He doesn't talk a lot, but don't think that you got to throw him in the basement somewhere. I mean, these wheels are turning,
Mm-hmm.
And they call me a weekend. They're like, hey, this guy, you're right. And, he's in fifth grade now. He talks all – I mean, it's like a totally different guy. So, I think sometimes, God just puts you on a path. It might not necessarily be the path that you're thinking that it's going to be, right, for what you want out of your life. But it's been such a blessing in the school being here and kind of being a part of this community. I just feel grateful every day that I'm here,
Mm-hmm. That's awesome place. Very good.
That's why I'm a big pirate, by the way.
Oh, that's right.
got my pirate hat on.
You got your pirate hat on. Yeah. Very good. This is, let me just say, this is Swap Shop. 928-9228 is our number. Mm-hmm. Check your calendar for birthdays and anniversaries.
Yep. If you got anybody with a birthday or an anniversary coming up either this week or next, be sure and give us a call and put their names on our list, because Friday, which is the day after tomorrow, we're going to have a drawing and give away lunch for two at the Quail Creek Golf Course Snack Bar.
Have you ever been there, the Quail Creek Golf Course?
No, I'm ready to go, though.
They have a snack bar, and it's just like getting a good old-fashioned concession stand burger, you know, cooked right there on the grill.
Oh, yeah.
And the crinkle-cut French fries. Mm-hmm. It's like $11.
Oh, let's go.
It's crazy. It's open 7 a.m. until 3 p.m. to the public, Monday through Sunday. Their breakfast, they say, is fabulous. I haven't been able to make a breakfast yet, though.
I love breakfast. Yeah. Best meal of the day. You got me convinced I'm going to go to the, you said the Legion's having a cigar thing. I heard you say that this morning.
Oh, yeah.
I'm doing that.
That's funny. Yeah, I was just pulling it up so that I could announce it. The American Legion Riders are hosting this with Bush's Cigars and Perdomo Cigars.
Oh, yeah, I know that.
That brand, yeah. I guess.
Right. Perdomo, yeah.
So the representative from Perdomo will be there, and you can have samples and their special pricing.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to have special pricing on Old Fashions.
I love those.
The drink.
Okay.
I guess that those and cigars go hand in hand.
Oh, like that, yeah.
Sure, yeah.
It's tomorrow night, 6 p.m. at the Fairhope American Legion, Post 199, free and open to the public. They're also going to have live music and, of course, the best sunset anywhere.
Oh, it is. I love taking the boat out and on Sundays and, you know, just kind of going in the little harbor there and... You know, I'm a big Grateful Dead guy. They always have, like, East L.A. Fadeaway, which is our local Dead
band. I'm sure
band.
I must
great.
Have seen you there. That's what
yeah,
I
love
there.
Going there. Yeah, so I'm normally out there on the boat, but I love it. There's not a place I've ever been to that's like that, Legion. And I'm really patriotic, you know. I love our country. And so I think it's anything you can do to support.
Absolutely.
You know,
well,
fair hope in our country. Is
and they reach out. They help others all the time. They're doing a tornado relief drive right now, and they're asking for folks to drop off supplies for tornado victims in Alabama and in Mississippi. They're looking for things like toiletries, diapers, feminine hygiene products, bottled water, and more.
Okay.
And you can leave the donations on the back porch of the main building, which is, you know, under reconstruction. Then they're also Sunday at 2 or 2:30, I'm scrolling for it now. They are having an Easter egg hunt on the beach, followed by the band Journey to Mars.
Oh, great band.
Yeah, really?
They
yeah.
are fantastic. Have you heard them?
No, I haven't heard them. What do they play?
You'll like
they're
them.
They are cover band. They play classic rock.
And, I love that.
And they sound just like the album.
Yeah, they're ready to turn pro.
Are they? Yeah, love that.
They are just so talented. But the Easter egg hunt is on the beach Sunday afternoon at 2. I can't find it. I'm looking for it. I believe it's 2 o'clock. Followed by Journey to Mars, and that's all at the American
Sweet.
Legion.
Mm-hmm.
Then in Daphne, they're having an Easter egg dash Saturday morning, 9 a.m. until noon. They're going to have the egg dashes divided by ages. They're going to have inflatables and fun stuff, live music, food vendors, and the Easter Bunny, and that is at Al Trione Park, the Al Trione Sports Complex.
Okay.
And that is Saturday morning, so.
Nice.
Check that out. Yours might be a little too old for Easter egg hunts now. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll have to ask him.
Yeah, how old is he now?
He's 10.
Okay.
He's in that range, kinda, you know. Yeah.
So let's get back.
But he could, I was going to say, he could probably help other kids with the Easter egg hunt.
With him, I never quite know what he's going to do, to be honest with you.
Okay.
And I'm sure that if any of his teachers are listening, they know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
He is a very original cat, you know, in a good way, but, you know, you just never quite know. He's one of those kids that could figure out the you know, how to cure cancer. You know
right.
I mean? Like, or who knows what else in his life.
Well, the autistic.
Yeah, he's really, the things
brilliant.
He does.
They're brilliant, yeah.
I knew something was wrong when he was 18 months. he was upset. He didn't talk, but he was upset, and it was because he couldn't get his blocks to make the Ukrainian alphabet. He had seen it on a video and was, you know, he's trying to turn the L into some kind of a C, G thing that they have in there. And I thought, yeah, my brother's 14 years younger than me, so I got to see his whole, you know, development. And I thought, we weren't doing that at 18 months.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So that's amazing.
He wanted to play piano because there was a song that they played at school, and he learned how to basically read music and play piano in a day. It was pretty crazy.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yep.
The other voice besides me and Mark is Mick Gillespie, if you're tuning in late. Mick, you can find him at mickthebroadcaster.com. You were involved in all types of radio and TV sports, from Alabama to the Chicago Cubs and back.
Yeah, yeah. It's during COVID, we came down here, and I was on the bay at the Bay House, and on the porch there, and at Page and Pallet, I just wanted to write a book, you know, like, and I haven't published it yet. Because I just don't feel like it's finished. But I got pretty much most of it written, and it was like just this journey, you know, almost kind of like a Forrest Gump type of journey, you know, like where, and I'm growing up in pretty big poverty and wanting to be Harry Caray and watching the Cubs and eventually getting to sit in that chair, and even though just for a couple times, you
and
know,
wear
a get a World Series ring, you know, get to college, you know. You know, true story is when I started school, I didn't even know how I was going to pay for it. I had to sleep in my car for a little while, you know, and now I live in Montrose. So it's like, you know, it just, things just happen, you know. But the thing about life is if you believe in yourself and you're persistent about that, great things happen. Even me being here, which I think that Fairhope is, and I've been all over the country. I think we live in the best place on earth. I couldn't imagine living in a better place, you know. So, yeah, it's been just an incredible ride.
That's awesome.
And I do a beer show. So.
And you do a beer show. Strictly beer for the fun of it.
Just for the fun of it, yeah.
Now, is this piece here something that we'll hear? You've got your Bama tailgate.
That's
show.
Okay, well, that's actually SEC Network. I didn't even mention that I did stuff with them. I'm working with Lance Cormier, who pitched for Alabama when I was a student. This is us doing one of the games, but if I know in there the first ever home run at Bama's new stadium, I did the play by play for it. So I think it's that first highlight there. So if you click that, that was right when they opened the stadium. And what was crazy is I transferred from the University of Maryland to Alabama, and it just so happened to be Alabama and Maryland playing baseball. And I get to do the call of the home run at the new stadium, so that's pretty neat.
That's cool. Let's see.
I think it's pretty. I think it's a good call. Hopefully.
I just fast forwarded a bit.
Hi, everybody. Along with Lance Cormier, I'm Mick Gillespie. Great to have you with us. South Carolina. Last time they were here in 2011. They won the SEC by beating Alabama. They can do the same thing today.
Yeah, you're right. And all they can do is go out there and take care of business.
There's a fly ball to deep right field. Papio back. So long. A home run for Taylor. And Alabama leads Maryland 1-0 to the bottom of the first.
Seeing what the sky is doing and everything. So
here's a little ground ball towards third. Bechtold, bare hand pickup. Got him. What a play.
When it's better.
Leaping catch by the second baseman in a double play. Kobe Vance as high as he could possibly go to rob a hit away from Smart.
And Cox. Fitzsimmons can.
There goes the runner, and the pitch is hit high and deep. Way back to left field, and that's gone.
Blowing the way that, you know, just with the temperature, warm game, the ball's going to fly a little bit. Alabama couldn't ask for a better spot to have Georgie Salem up with two guys on. You know, both the guys can run very well, so he puts a ball in the gap. They're scoring two right here.
All right. Well, we have probably heard you on the radio before then.
Maybe.
You
probably,
sound
yeah.
and look just like a great sportscaster.
Yeah. I've got boat hair now. So yeah. I let her go. I got a little flow going back here.
No tie, no man.
You know what?
Like, no business cut. Yeah.
When you get out on the water here, it's the best experience. You know, like that's what I live for. When I back the boat in and, you know, I got fuel in the tank and the weather's right, and everyone that's listening knows that the bay can be troublesome mm-hmm. if the wind changes,
yeah.
right?
Well, yeah, the regatta came up a couple of years ago and was deadly for folks. So,
yeah. Well, hopefully that never happens for me. You know?
Always watch the weather.
Yeah. I miss
my
boat.
But on a smooth
boat,
day,
yeah.
right? You know, mm-hmm. that's the best.
It is.
So that's why I got long hair. But I'm debating the cutting it and going back to the clean cut look, so you guys will take me seriously.
Yeah.
Not you guys, but everybody out in radio.
Everybody out in radio. Because yeah, your hairstyle matters. You could just get on there and say, yeah, I went to the barber shop today, got a great haircut, and looking sharp, wearing my 3-piece suit with a tie and his plaid tie, and you look just like you do now.
Yeah.
But,
right.
I wanted to
radio
be
radio land. That's what they think.
The hair really started is that Morgan Wallen, the country singer, was at Innisfree in Tuscaloosa, and then they did a Saturday night skit based off of that, right? Because it was during COVID, and apparently he was kissing a bunch of people, and so and I do my football show from Innisfree, and I'm friends with Tripp, the owner, and all the people there, and I just thought it would be funny to be not Morgan, but Jason Bateman dressed like Morgan Wallen for Halloween.
Okay.
You know, as part of that skit on SNL.
Right.
And then I was like, you know what? I never did cut it into a mullet, but I thought, you know what? I'm just going to leave it for a little while, you know, and see how far I can take. There's something nice about not running to the barber every month, you know, because I did that for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right. So it's freedom.
Yeah, but no one saw it up here. Like, I guess if I was in Tuscaloosa, they'd be like, oh, I know what you're doing. Everybody's just like...
Well, Mick, it's such a pleasure to have you with us today. We'll have you back.
Yeah,
oh, absolutely.
To fill in or pinch hit.
Anytime.
No pun intended. Mick Gillespie. You can find him at mickthebroadcaster.com or Mick's Beer Review on Facebook. Swap Chop's brought to you today by these fine local businesses.
By Fairhope Hemp CBD, Hughes Funeral Home and Crematory, the Fairhope Storm, and the Quail Creek Golf Course Snack Bar.
We are happy to be back on the radio airwaves, and shout out to Randy Bauer in Daphne, who missed us while we were off. And don't forget, you can always listen on the internet. You can download the phone app, listen to the website. You can also log on via Alexa, Siri, or Hey Google. We're going to play Retirement Your Way.
Okay.
That was, although it was broadcast online, it wasn't on the radio yesterday. We're going to play that here in a minute. And then we're going to play Dr. Lou's Conservative Watchdog Show tomorrow. So that we can make up those events that we missed.
Okay.
Alrighty, this is WABF Mobile Fairhope. Great music and memories. Say bye, Mark.
Bye, Mark.
Have a good one, and may God bless you.